All right, morning, boys. Got a prayer request this morning. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all your blessings this morning. Thank you for allowing everyone to gather here. Just ask that you heal Kevin this morning. Touch him and heal his body this morning. Be with us as we go throughout the rest of the day. Help us be mindful of you. Be with brothers and sisters in Mexico, around the world. Help us all be mindful of you. Keep us in your care. Be with the prayer requests that were mentioned this morning. The upcoming surgery for Andy, Brian, and Erica. Just give everyone your wisdom and your strength. In Jesus' name, I pray. This morning. All right, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came up and testing Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah." And he left them and went away. I've always heard the saying growing up, it's red in the night, sailors will lie or something. Red in the morning, sailor's warning or something like that. So I've always wondered where that came from, but it's right here in the Bible. It talks about in the evening, if it's red, it'll be fair weather. But in the morning, if the sky is red, then it'll be a storm. It's kind of, I'd never realized that until my later years, I guess, I started reading the Bible. But just thought that was interesting, even to this day, that that's still saying. Jesus went away. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." They began to discuss this among themselves, saying, "He said that because we do not bring any bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets full you picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets full you picked up? Or how is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not say beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So I was thinking about that, I was reading that, thinking about that. You know, it says one drop of leaven will smooth a whole loaf of bread. And I was thinking that, and it seems like back even in that time, that the Pharisees and Sadducees, they would read the Bible or the scriptures they had, and they would try to smooth everything over so that way it would all work for what they was doing. So they didn't have to change anything. They could just make little loopholes and make everything smooth over and get away with everything. Get away with things just by, they would find loopholes in the Bible, so to speak. And even now, in today's time, it talks about people say, you know, Jesus loves you or Jesus loves me, so I don't have to change I don't have to change myself because Jesus already loves me and he loves me and accepts me the way I am. And it doesn't say that. It says Jesus loves you. But it also says that he who he loves, he chasteneth, or chastises. So they don't realize that what the Bible says about what we need to do in our lives is actually what we need to do. It's not just that Jesus loves them. Yes, Jesus loves everybody. But, I mean, that's not the question. The question is, do we love him? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we have to, it's not the question of if Jesus loves us, but like people think, it's a complete backwards thinking that we have as people, thinking that Jesus loves us. Yes, that's a given. But the question is, do we love him? And it says, you know, beware of the leaven, it smooths out the whole lump of bread. But it said, also says that iron sharpeneth iron. So if there's nothing hard in your life that maybe you need to work on or something that you need to work on, you don't get any sharper. It says the word of God's sharper than a two-edged sword. So it sharpens us and makes us, shaves away all the little imperfections of our life. If we let it, it takes us away and shapes us into what God wants us to be, because that's what God wants us to be, not what we want to be. So it says to beware of that. We need to keep working on ourselves every day, all the time, to get ourselves molded into what God wants us to be, not what we think we need to be. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised upon the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." It's kind of funny, interesting how it goes from Jesus saying, "You will be the rock that I will build my church on, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it," to, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, he's talking about the same person, just a couple. I don't know what the time span is there, but I assume it's not very far. Not very much time passed between that. Just interesting that he went from that to that. Just shows how fast, if we lose focus of what God wants us to be doing, what we think, how fast that we can go down the wrong road if we shift our sights from Christ to what we think we need to do, instead of shifting them or doing what God thinks we need to do. It can happen easily. We don't guard ourselves against it. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come and the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom." All right. Do you have any questions or anything about that? All right. You can say your verses then, and I'll give you assignment for that.
Last week, we were told to think of something we could do for someone and do it. And this last week, I worked in my brother's garden getting it ready to plant.
This week, I did my sister's chores, but they're done.
I was supposed to clean up some sawdust on the lane when I got time, and I didn't get time. And then my sister did it, and then I helped her finish it.
Before everybody woke up early in the morning, I woke up and I did Micah's animals for him.
Dad was sick yesterday, and he asked me if I wanted to go do a job for him, and I didn't really want to do it because I wasn't feeling the greatest either, but I thought, well, I can go try it. So me and Floyd went and did a job and got it done.
It's good to learn to clean up things that you don't mess up and fix things that you didn't break or whatever, and I did that a couple times this week, cleaning up things that other people messed up.
This week, as I was working, I was thinking about trying to think about something nice I could do for someone. And so that helped me to help people with little things and jump in when they needed my help.
This week, my sister was reading a book that I wanted to read and that I had been reading. And instead of just asking her to give it to me, and I just decided at that time to just let her read it because there's plenty of other chances in life.
Something I've been trying to do is I've been trying to be a light to my younger siblings.
It was a blessing this week to practice the assignment, and I have a verse that goes along with it. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you.
It doesn't take much to make a difference by helping and doing things. Like an example in our room, it was just kind of a mess. There were blankets all over the floor and things that needed put away, and I took a little bit of time, and it makes a difference.
This week, Dad's been trying to get me to clean up stuff around the house whenever I had time, and I've been busy, pretty busy. And this week, every time I had a spare moment, I'd pick up something or clean the truck out or pick some trash up. And just thankful.
This week, I just tried to put others' needs before mine. Just went and helped them before I wanted to get my stuff done.
This week, I had an opportunity. It's kind of funny because at first I missed the opportunity, but then I thought, well, I better just follow up on it, you know, because the opportunity had not passed even though I missed the first chance to help in that situation. But it was one of the boys that works on the crew had sprained his left wrist, and he told me about it the day before. And I forgot about it. The next day we were setting poles for a pole barn. And I was getting tired of tamping, so I was like, and he walked by, I handed a tamp bar to him. And then I thought, oh man, he's got a sprained wrist. I shouldn't have handed that to him. And I thought, I missed my chance. That could have been a good boys' lesson example. And man, I missed my chance. But then as the day went on, I realized, well, he's still got a sprained left wrist, so I can just be mindful of that throughout the day and offer to do it. And so I would ask him, hey, do you want to run the tamper or the shovel? And he would tell me what he'd rather do. And so it was a blessing because it was sort of a you know, an opportunity to put that simple thing in your mind and just persist and being considerate.